What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, it's time for you to feel a little bit better. It's time for you to release. Something's been pent up. You've been holding something back. Been holding something in. It's time for you to let it out. Got a $25 gift card at Tin Roof on the line for the best. You just made the list. All you have to do is call us up at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and tell us who or what has made you mad. It's that simple. You've been thinking about it all week as we're all starting to get back out there. And boy, you're out in a lot of places. You're out there. There's things going on. So tell us about it. 615-737-1025. Willie, would you like to start?
I can.
Sure. Well, go ahead. Get us going.
Well, I'm just going to, once and for all.
You sound hesitant.
Even now that it's over. Well, now that it's over, I'll just say it. You know, Major League Baseball is on the list until further notice. I'm just going to put them on the list until further notice, until they have a new CBA. I mean, this whole thing, now I'm hoping that they are able to play. I'm not as sure as I was, you know, even a couple of days ago because of what's happening. Some states now have had to pull back and go back, and let's keep our fingers crossed that we don't have to do that in our state or our city. But you can't rule it out, right, the way things are going right now. But once and for all, for obvious reasons, baseball is going to be on the list until further notice because they didn't make it better. There's nothing that gives you hope that they're not going to have a real rough few years. And for those of us that love baseball, that's just it's a sinking feeling among all of the sinking feelings that we have. And I know they're going to play, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun if they play, because every game, I mean, it's been put in these terms, Darren, when opening day happens on July 24th or 23rd or whatever, it's like everybody is tied for first, you know, that late in the season. So that will make a fun stretch run, right? Sure. Every game is huge. Every game's magnified. That will be compelling for sure. But I just really worry about the future of the game. So they're going to be on the list.
You just made the list.
No, look, you're not going to get any pushback from me on that. They deserve to be on there. By the way, I wanted to pass along a couple of things before I get to mine. Just read where Oregon and Oregon State, you know, when they play at the end of the year, that big rivalry game.
Civil War.
They are no longer going to use that as their term to describe that game. They are getting rid of that. So there you go. So it will no longer be called the Civil War. The Indianapolis 500, you know, which is always run on Memorial Day weekend. On Memorial Day, to be exact, you know, it was pushed back this year. It was pushed back to now be run on August 23rd. Well, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but they have come out and said not only will it be run on Sunday, August 23rd at the Brickyard, the Indy 500 will run at 50% capacity, which
is bold.
Permanent, let's see, their permanent seating is 250,000. And then obviously if you count the infield and stuff, they go over 300,000. But, yeah, they have come out and said that they are going to go half capacity with fans.
How is that possible?
That is the plan today.
There's no way they could keep people distance.
Well,
with if that you remember, many people?
Yesterday, the news about the Kentucky Derby was they're going to have, right? They're going to have fans in the stands. And I don't remember, didn't they say 50% as well? That was yesterday for the Oaks and the Derby.
I just don't see how 50% can
work.
Which
is going to be run in September 5th.
You know, 25%, 33%, I can see. 50% seems very ambitious. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope it can be done. I hope it can be done.
Just thought I'd pass that along. All right, for my You Just Made the List. And it's with great sadness because it's something that I love. It's my two German Shepherds at home. But I'm putting them on the list. I can't take any more, Willie. Spoiled rotten. They're just spoiled rotten. And we love them to death. They are certainly a part of our family. But if they go outside for longer than 5 minutes, I mean, it's like, they're just sitting there. They're like staring in the windows. Wherever we are, they go there, just stare at us like, let us back in. We're dying out here. They go out for 5 minutes. You would think it's the end of the world. They are not tough. I got two German Shepherds, and they're just not tough enough. They're soft. They have become soft over the years because they are, like I said, spoiled rotten. Just lay around. They go outside for any length of time. It's like, oh, please let us back in. What are you doing? What do we do to deserve this? It's like, really? That's you guys have been outside for 10 minutes. You act like you're dying out there. And they won't leave the deck. They're staring in the window, like at the door. Let us back in. Oh, they're soft, Willie. They lay around all day. And another thing is, well, I love that, they're loyal, obviously, but they follow you around everywhere you go. Everywhere they've got to be right at your feet. It's like, guys, we got the whole house. Can you not just go lay down somewhere? You don't have to. Like, I'm stepping over them constantly. It's like you've got the whole house to go, but they've got to be right at your feet. And so as much as I love them, we love them, they're spoiled rotten, they need to toughen up. And for today, and hopefully it's the last time I do it, I've got to put the male and the female German Shepherd, I got to put them on the list.
You just made the list!
Oof. You know, I thought about putting...
Did you hear that? I just heard a bark, yeah. Maybe he was barking at me.
I almost put my dogs on the list. I do have a – I feel bad because we don't take them for as many walks as we probably should. But here's what my dogs do. When you break out the leash and they see that you're going to take them for a walk, they go nuts.
Nuts.
And they start grabbing crazy. The leash and they'll jump on you.
Yes.
And they can't hold in their enthusiasm. And you can't get the leash on them.
Okay.
And it's all kinds of commotion. That's a crazy one.
Let me second what you just said, because we could do a better job as well. I'm going to second that and say we could do a better job of taking them on more walks. But you are correct. If you touch the leash, but even by accident, or if you go near them, oh, you better watch out, because they are going to go absolutely nuts, especially – Roman, the male. I mean, he will jump, and he's 90 something pounds. He can knock down most, and you don't want him jumping on you. He is huge, and he's strong, and he goes absolutely crazy. If you grab a leash, oh my gosh! And you're right, it makes it difficult to leash him up because he's going. I'm always like, would you stop? Sit. Would you? Stop going crazy. I can't hook you up with you going absolutely bonkers. But you're right. In fact, you've inspired me. Like today, I need to take him on a walk. It's going to happen today. Because you're right. We could do a better job of that.
All right. So maybe this is going to lead to something. But I'm very concerned about the list for Roman. I mean, that's tough. I mean, it's not even July yet. It's going to get hot. Darren, I just wonder if they'll take this the right way.
Well, I mean, I've got to do something to toughen them up. They are just, They're just too soft because they're spoiled rotten, and they got to toughen up.
They're going to toughen up. Okay.
I guess it's safe to say Darren's dogs don't have no dog in them.
No, that's Marquise. That is,
this is a dad joke.
No, that's good. That's true. They do not have any dog in them, unless Roman sees another dog. Then he goes absolutely bonkers. He goes nuts. That's another thing. But no, overall, they do not have DAWG. They don't. They need it. They need that badly. That's a good point. Right now, they're just DOG, man. That's what they are. All right, we will come back. Let's find out who or what is on your list. 615-737-1025. This is a participation segment. We will come back. The best call, we will give you a 10-roof gift card. How about that? 615-737-1025. Your phone calls next on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Don't forget, you can stream us from anywhere. You can download the Game Nashville app, which is free and easy. Enable Alexa Skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game. That's simple. Or you can live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. I do like that song, Marquise. Good song coming out of the break. That should get people pumped up. By the way, in just about 15, 20 minutes, you're going to hear our interview with Jackie McMullen yesterday, which was fantastic. You're going to want to hear this from ESPN.
It's awesome.
With the Boston Globe. If you missed it, you're going to want to hear this. That's coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. But right now, we've got a $25 gift card to Tin Roof. But we need you to tell us who or what is on your list. It's that simple. Just tell us what's made you mad. Okay? 615-737-1025. Let's start things off with Doug. He's always got a good story to tell. Doug, who or what is on your list?
Guys, I've got to put the United States Postal Service, or maybe being specifically the United States Postal Service worker, on my list.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
You know, we go out of town sometimes, and let's start this by, man, I work 40 yards across from the post office, so I've always had a P.O. box. Special things, I cross the street, and I have my mail by 8 o'clock. Been out of town, Indianapolis, had a little tournament, a little showcase event, one. Two, lost three, either way, but hence the mail has been there for a few days. And when you do that, there's a sign in your box that says article too big, which means I have a package most of the time, 99% of the time, and I have to stand in line and go get it. Well, I stand in line and they give me the chastisement that, you know, when you're out of town for a long period of time, you fill out the form that says hold your mail, hold your mail. It's only been 3 days, so I take that one. So they go in the back and get what is being held. And what's caused me to get this chastisement in this letter is a Walmart ad, a CVS ad, a Publix ad, and a Kroger ad. And I said, the last time I checked, my last name is not Redstone. You can keep it.
That's what was the overload?
That was what the overload was. That's why I had a chastisement for when you are gone for a long period of time, hold mail. And that's why there was a sign in my box that said, article too big for box, so I had to stand in line for Walmart ad, CVS ad, Publix ad, and Kroger ad. And I said, my last name's not Residence. Return to sender. And I just walked away.
You know, when you get something that says resident, that's probably not that exciting.
No.
If you stand in line for it and you get chastised because you should have done something different, and there's no mail. When I said there's no mail in the box for me, that's what I was being chastised for. Not one letter. Not two letters. None.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Doug. You have a great weekend.
Yeah, guys.
Any tournaments this weekend?
2 weeks off, and then I believe a Nashville, and then East Cobb, Georgia.
All right. Cool. Keep us updated on that. I feel like there's less of what Doug is talking about. I do feel that. I do feel that we get less of that in the mail, right? I felt like there was a time.
Maybe
it was
a little less. Day. I'm still getting some of that.
I feel like Tuesday
I don't know
is a big day
how we
for that.
Rate. You mean just
have you ever noticed
mail
like
that is just nothing?
Yeah, the, you know, the coupons and stuff. The residents. I feel like Tuesday is a big day for that. But overall, I don't feel like we get it as much as we used to. I could be wrong.
I don't know, man. I think it's less, but it's still significant. It's like, who are the people that still think that this is effective?
Well, I just think typically now, because everything is online, like coupons are kind of going by the wayside, right? Like, you don't physically cut out coupons anymore and really take them anywhere, for the most part.
I've never been good with the coupons. I know some people are just awesome at putting them together and having them ready to go. But so how does that work? If you used to be one of those people that actually got the scissors out and the paper and cut them out and did it, I mean, you were rewarded for that diligence. But what do you do now?
Is that evolved?
Is it on your phone?
Yeah, it's just downloads. Yeah, digital.
Yep. I guess I need to do that at the grocery store.
Grocery store is a prime example.
If I could put it on my phone.
Just do it all on your phone. In some cases, it's all there at checkout. Like, it's already done for you. Like, it's on your card or your account or whatever, and you know what coupons you have on there, it's just automatically taken off. So you don't have to, it's pretty darn easy today. But people still do it old school. I'm sure of those.
Which is why they still send those people the mail like that.
Yep. All right, let's go. I think I just heard Aaron. Let's go to Mike. Mike, who or what is on your list?
I would like to just say that the MLB is currently on my list, not because of any specific players or like the MLBPA or Rob Manfred specifically, but just in general as a whole organization, for them having them putting us through all this strife with, is baseball even coming back? Because up until the recent ruling they had a couple days ago, I was convinced that we just weren't going to have any baseball this season, and I'm sure a lot of people share that sentiment. But I'm glad that it got done, but it should not have taken this long. And that's exactly why the MLB is on my list, until they can prove me otherwise.
Okay. Do we still feel good about it, that it's going to happen? Everything's going to happen?
Well, it won't happen because of the labor issue. The health challenges are going to be very significant, I think.
Yeah.
But it won't happen because of what has been happening, what everybody's upset about. Like, you can't be upset if they can't play because of health.
No.
Right? That wouldn't put you on the list, but they're on the list for how they've conducted themselves the last few months. It's just been brutal.
But you believe July 1st, they're going to, everything is going to be as planned. July 1st, which is what?
I hope so.
Next week?
I hope.
Middle next week? Yeah.
I hope. I mean, there's all kinds of challenges and stuff that they're dealing with right now, and I think that goes for every sport. But I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
They're going to try.
I saw we're 16 out of just over 300, I think it's 302 to be exact, NBA players have tested positive. Which, you know, baseball's got a bigger number. Football will have even a bigger number. So my guess is, if you're looking at it with that model, they'll be, you know, that's what we've been saying, right? They're going to find out.
But that's not a ridiculously high number,
no.
I don't think. I've been saying the interpretation was it like 5%. That's reasonable. And hopefully, you know, those players are all going to be okay. And in a few weeks, cleared to play, you would hope. I mean, but you just wonder what is going to be the continuous number. And can you, once you get into that bubble, stop that number, right? Can you get everybody in the bubble without the virus and then start clean? And how long can you keep it intact, keep that bubble intact without anybody infiltrating with the virus or contracting the virus? That's going to be the big thing.
Yep.
Baseball and football won't have that.
Nope. In baseball, we'll get to see it first, right, before football. I'm going on the premise that everything is going to happen. So football kind of gets to sit back and watch all these sports start up. And, you know, MLS and MLB, or not MLB, NBA, MLS, and hockey, if everything goes as planned, they should be going before the NFL season, and they could, but they're in the bubble. So a little bit different situation. The MLB is more the model like the NFL in college football. And so they get to actually see something where they're not in a hub or a bubble. And so they've got to do, they've got to conduct their business kind of like the NFL. And so they'll get to see how that really works on the baseball side of things. And like football, in a lot of cases, we've talked about this, right? It's an outdoor sport, which does make a difference. And that should help.
Outdoors does make a difference.
It does. It
you would hope,
help.
Especially when the weather's warm. But it's, I think it's more the travel and the mixing of people. Like the outdoors theory, you know, look at California, Arizona, Texas, Florida. You know, they're people are outside. They're getting outside, and it's spreading, right, especially among young people. So that's what I worry about more. It's not the outside part of it necessarily. Is where do the players go when they're free? Right, when they're free to go, where are they going?
Yeah.
And can they avoid the pitfalls? Like Florida and Texas today have announced that they're closing the bars, right? I guess they've determined that's been the source of a lot of clusters where the spread is happening, and they've dialed back to 50% for restaurants just because of issues they've had.
Now, I have not seen this. You said the state of Florida and Texas, those states have closed bars?
Yeah. They've had to close bars.
Wow.
Florida had almost 9,000 new cases as a state today, just shattered the daily record. And it's been trending up in a big way in the last week. And so they had to take some measures, and Texas did the same.
Interesting. As I head down that way come this weekend. Not that we would have gone to bars because we're taking Maddox, but that's interesting. I had not seen that. And I'll be curious. I mean, look, I'll be the first to admit, I'll be curious to see. And we've actually talked about that. You know, one of the nice things about going to the beach, right, it's fun to go out and eat every night. You know, seafood restaurants, you get really, you know, good food. But we've talked about it of, do we go? Because, you know, those places are always packed, right? I mean, packed. And so I don't know what they're operating on under. You know, is it 50%? What? And so if they're normally, you know, operating at 100%, and it's always a crazy wait if you go anywhere good at the beach, what the heck is it going to be like for, you know, if they're operating at 50% capacity? So we were kind of talking around or shooting around of maybe just, you know, just doing to go when we go to the beach. Like, we don't want to fool with going in. And what's the setup? A lot of these places, really, you know, places that we like are more, a little bit smaller, you know. And so, because they've been around forever and they're just places everybody knows and they're really good. But they're small, and so, you know, people are going to be on top of it. So we've been talking about that. I think we're probably just going to do to-go or eat back at the condo rather than our normal – what we normally do is eat out a lot.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot. I don't know that we've eaten out sitting on a place. We've done takeout all kinds of different ways, and a lot of restaurants have done a great job of – adapting and making it quick, but I don't know that we've sat down in a place yet.
Oh, really? I mean, I have only I think we've had maybe a handful. I mean, I've probably 3-4 times, and I've told you on the show that, you know, I have felt good. The places I've gone, I have felt like they're doing it, you know, the right way. I have felt comfortable. Obviously, I wouldn't be in there if I didn't, but. But, yeah, it hasn't been very many. Interesting. All right, we come back. You're going to want to hear this. If you did not hear Jackie McMullen on the show, we got a lot of really good feedback on it. She's, of course, on ESPN, Around the Horn. She's at Boston Globe forever. She is really good at what she does. She covers the NBA. She's done it for a long time. And so you're going to want to hear this on the other side. Jackie McMullen in the On Deck Circle. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and, well, not Chase this week. Chase and the GM. That's coming up at 2 p.m.
It's an honor and a pleasure to bring in our next guest, Jackie McMullen from ESPN. Does a lot of great work, been at it for a long time. You can see her work around the horn. She's been covering the NBA and a columnist for a long, long time, and she now joins us. Jackie, how you doing?
Good, guys. How's our things today?
Things in Nashville are good.
Quiet,
no complaints.
Huh?
It is a little quiet, but, you know, this is the new norm. We've been doing this all from our homes for, gosh, near 4 months now, and this is just what it is. So, you know.
Exactly.
If we're complaining.
I got a studio, a TV studio, full studio next door.
There you go. See, and so we're all just getting used to this, and we've adjusted, and that's life in 2020. So I wanted to ask you, speaking of life in 2020, where you can have the last dance and you can have something like that, and it got so much attention because of the times. They sped up the process. It was the smart move to move it up with nothing going on, and obviously had huge ratings. Let me just say this. I enjoyed your work. I know you did a lot of stuff in and around this, especially joining Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter afterwards and getting reactions. Right. So I just wanted to tell you, great job on that. I stuck around every Sunday night just to watch the post game coverage.
Oh well, thanks. I think Will Bond will thank you as well, my partner in crime.
That's right. What did you think overall of the 10 episodes? Both of us were at the beginning of our careers, and we weren't mm-hmm. covering it. You were in the middle of it, so you have a right. different perspective. What did you think?
Well, you know what? I had forgotten how much drama there was. Something would come up in one of the episodes, and I would think to myself, oh, my gosh, that's right, that did happen. So when you look back on it, it's incredible that they won those six championships. When you consider the arguments about pay and all the things, the drama with Scottie Pippen and of course Rodman leaving in the middle of the playoffs to go to Vegas and all the things that transpired, you know, Horace Grant leaving and then Steve Kerr coming and John Paxson going. And when you look back on all of it and all the drama between Phil and Jerry Krause, of which I did know quite a bit about because I wrote quite a bit about all that. When you roll it all up into one, I'm just astonished they were able to win six championships with all of that going on.
Yeah, it's a good point. We talked about this and actually had a really good laugh on the show just thinking about what if that was now. And you think about the part of Michael Jordan golfing with one of the opponents and Danny Ainge in the middle of a playoff series. Could you imagine with today's social media? I mean, that Tony Romo got killed for going to Cabo on his off week.
That's right. And I'm telling you, Larry Bird would have blew his top if he had known that Danny Ainge was playing golf with Jordan the day before that playoff series. He would have had a fit. He was very vehemently against socializing with the opposition. He really hated it. In fact, you know, Dennis Johnson, before he came to the Celtics, he played for Seattle, but he used to work out in the summertime in L.A., and he used to work out with all the Lakers because, you know, in the summertime, you just grab a game. And once Dennis Johnson ended up in a Boston Celtics uniform, he showed up for his usual off-season workouts, and they all told him to get lost. He couldn't play with them anymore.
Wow.
Different time, you know.
It was a different time. You know, it is amazing. You brought up the drama. And the NBA, I think, has been able to master it better than anybody. And the constant talk, right? I mean, they really have. I mean, throughout mm-hmm. the decades, they've been able, whether it was good or bad, they were able to always generate a discussion piece. And, you know, we have a professional hockey team and NFL team here. We do have an NBA team in the state. but you've been around it for a long time. How has the NBA always been able to have kind of like this soap opera drama feel, almost like a documentary always going in the sport?
Right. Well, they were smart enough to understand, and I think it really did start with David Stern, that this is a league of stars. It's different than football. There's no helmets. There's only five players out there, and as some of them like to say, running around in their underwear. And so the players are very recognizable, and people feel a little, I think, more of a kinship to them because they know what they look like, and there's only, you know, there used to only be 12 to a team. Now there's 15. And so you got to know them a little more intimately than maybe some of the other sports that you were dealing with. You know, hockey, you're also dealing with helmets. In baseball, you've got, you know, baseball caps. And so, and I think the personalities were always allowed to bloom in the NBA. I think Stern understood that was good for business. I think Adam Silver understands the same thing. And so they gave their players freedom to be different and to express personalities. And by the way, they marketed that very successfully. So it's not like they were being just you know, very generous about this. They made money off those personalities as well.
Jackie McMullen on the line with this one. One of those things, and ESPN is going to air this on Sunday, is the backstory on LeBron James and the decision. It's not really right. about him choosing to go to Miami. It's more about the whole episode, you know, everything that came to be the decision. This yes. is yet again another, you know, what along the lines of what we're talking about. The NBA on just a decision to go somewhere, either stay or go somewhere else, was a huge, huge spectacle for the sport.
Right, yeah, and it was crazy. I remember at the time, I actually happened to be in Bristol during that week in the days leading up to it, and we were hearing the details of this, quote-unquote, the decision. Of course, it appeared on ESPN. And I just remember talking to David Stern, and he said to me, I'm trying to tell him, don't do this. And I remember going live on SportsCenter saying, don't do this. It's going to be a huge mistake. And it was a mistake that became even bigger because – you know, LeBron didn't even have enough courtesy to tell the Cleveland Cavaliers they weren't the team he was going to be with. And I think that's what everybody objected to. But it created what a firestorm it created. And then it continued when he went to Miami and they had that huge rally, and when he was saying not one, not two, not three. I mean, it was great drama. And LeBron has conceded in years since that he probably could have handled that a little differently.
Yeah. Jackie McMullen on the line with us. And one more from my end. And we had Jamie Little on the show yesterday, and she's NASCAR on Fox, and she was been right in the middle of all the coverage with Talladega and Bubba Wallace and doing great work. But I wanted to kind of get, because we've talked to Jamie over the years, just everything that's going on in our country, Jackie, and the challenges that, you know, while we're all moving, hopefully everything is moving in the right direction. Just, you know, everybody's had their challenges, and while you're well-respected in what you do, I have to believe that wasn't always the case as a female reporter or columnist. You probably had your challenges as well. So what do you make of some of the things going on in our country right now?
Yeah, it's nothing new, that's for sure. And, you know, of course, back when I broke into this industry, it was the early 80s, and I used to joke with everybody in Boston that I started working for the Boston Globe, and my name was Jackie McMullen. Everybody thought I was an Irish Catholic guy from Southie, you know, and it helped me out a lot because people didn't make up their minds about me. If my name was Nancy McMullen, you know, a lot of people probably wouldn't even read my copy. Remember, this is before I'm on the radio, before I'm on TV. Nobody knows what I look like.
Yeah.
And so I actually was fortunate to have a little bit of a cloak of anonymity when I first started. People thought I was a guy. And so they could decide, well, this guy stinks, or, yeah, I like this guy. He knows what he's talking about. And I think that helped me a lot. But I covered all the sports for the Boston Globe when I was young, when I was in my early 20s. I covered professional baseball and the NFL. I covered the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Bruins, everybody. And it was very difficult back then to walk into a Major League Baseball clubhouse. Very difficult, tough environment. And the Patriots, of course, pre-ownership of Robert Kraft, another very, very tough environment. And you just learn to keep your head down and do your job. And but the NBA was, even then, was a breath of fresh air. It was a great place for any journalist to go and just be judged on their merits, on what they did or didn't do, whether you were black, white, yellow, women, man, didn't matter. And I think that's probably in part why I gravitated towards the NBA.
Talking to Jackie McMullen. And Jackie, with that thought, I'm just curious, looking back, who were the most supportive people during that time in terms of maybe your coworkers at the Globe,
right,
or even some of the athletes that really went, mm-hmm, out of their way to make you feel comfortable?
Yeah, I was really lucky. I mean, I worked for the greatest sports section of all time, and I'll take anybody on that wants to question me on that, because Will McDonough there and Bob Ryan and Lee Monfil and Peter Gammons and Kevin Paul DuPont and Ian Thompson, who is still one of my best friends, and these are all men, and they had my back every step of the way. But most importantly, my bosses did. Vince Doria, who went on to be a very accomplished executive at ESPN, and Don Squar, who also went on to be an accomplished executive at ESPN. They were my two primary bosses when I was young, and they were the other people that wouldn't stand for it. David Stern would not stand for it. And the players, again, in the NBA, Dennis Johnson in particular, God rest his soul, and Robert Parrish, they really looked out for me. And if people were giving me a hard time, they had to go through them. And by the way, Robert Parrish is a pretty big dude. And I remember saying to Robert once, thank you for that. Why? And he said, well, I think we figure you feel like we do sometimes. You know, 90% of the time when I walk into a business meeting, I'm the only black man in the room. I figure it's the same thing for you in your business. 98% of the time, you're the only woman walking into the room. So there was almost a little kinship there with some of the black athletes that I covered when I was young, because many of them would tell me, you know, I was raised by a very strong woman. Sometimes their dad wasn't around, and so they could really identify with a strong female presence, and they really looked out for me, and you never, ever, ever forget that. I will never forget it.
Boy, great stuff. I'm with you on the Globe. It's a great thing. And as we know, the media is evolving. The sports page evolves. Another,
right,
big part of your history is Sports Illustrated. I'm one that, mm-hmm, used to look forward to every week when who's going to be on the cover and what great articles,
right,
are going to be in there. And obviously, it'll probably never be the same. So what are your thoughts on how the media is evolving with sports pages and sports writing these,
right,
days?
Right. Very difficult. I'm a newspaper person at heart. I've been at ESPN for a while, but I still hope people think of me as a newspaper person. That's where I cut my teeth. I loved the Globe. I had two different stints there, totaling almost 20 years, and did work 5 years at Sports Illustrated, and, of course, very fortunate to be at ESPN now. But the difference is, I mean, we used to go to practice. We'd cover practices. They weren't closed. We would go there. In fact, that's how I got to know all the players, is I would go an hour and a half early because I was so young and so afraid I was going to miss something. I would get there early and end up having conversations with these players as they came into the practice facility. And you know, I think it's very difficult. I have great sympathy for young writers today or young journalists who are trying to make their mark because access is so limited. You know, you only have post-practice access. Oftentimes they bring a player out, so it's a scrum, and you have to try to navigate. You know, everybody's going to hear your question and the answer from the athlete that you're talking with. And so it's becoming harder and harder now with these players as they form their own production companies. They want to give their content to fellow ex-players. We have some great podcasts now. You know, Matt Barnes does a great podcast, and some of the other ex-NBA players. Darius Miles, they do the Up and Smoke one, and players feel comfortable with other players, so they're a lot more frank and honest sometimes with them than they are with the regular media. So we have all sorts of challenges in front of us. And you know, when young people say to me, well, what am I supposed to do? I say, show up early and stay late. Show up to everything. If they have a charity event, show up to it. If they do a community service event, be there. Show up early to the game. You never know who's going to be warming up to get a few shots in 3 hours before the game. That's what we have to do now. You've got to be creative in ways where you can communicate with players and coaches and GMs because it's a very difficult world out there right now.
Just like sports writing evolves, the game evolves with basketball. Mm-hmm. And you know, watching The Last Dance, it's funny, we remember the excitement, but you look at the final score, often it was 83-81,
right,
or you know, a game, mm-hmm, that's totally different than what we're seeing right now. The game really opened up, less hand checking, more freedom, and way,
right,
higher scores. Of course, the guys are, you know, shooting the threes like they've never done before. But
what, right,
what type of era do you enjoy the most, Jackie? We're all kind of in this moment where in time it's frozen.
Right.
We're going back and watching. I just watched the 94 game 7 the other day, the John Starks, where he had a real rough,
mm-hmm,
day, and Patrick Ewing,
right,
and those guys fell short, but it's so different looking back at those times.
Well, I mean, So I grew up in, you know, I'm a former post player, so I didn't mind the post play and the dominant centers. You know, there was a stretch there where 9 out of the 10 league MVPs were all centers, and yet the last center to be the MVP, believe it or not, was Shaquille O'Neal in the year 2000. That's almost 20 years ago. So the game has changed, and it started with the elimination of hand checking, and it was by design. Stern and the league didn't like the low scoring games. Fans love scoring. They don't appreciate defense as much. They love scoring. So by eliminating those making the hand-checking rules really stringent on the perimeter, players got to go to the line more. People started shooting three-pointers more, and it opened the game up. And that's the game we have today, which, by the way, I think is a beautiful game. I enjoy it. What I don't enjoy, and I think they need to adjust it a bit, is if you just breathe on Steph Curry as you swing past, or if James Harden, you know, jumps into you, they go to the line for three free throws. And I don't think that's how the game should be played. So I think they should lighten up a little bit on the touch fouls that go on up in the perimeter and let those guys really earn it. And both of them are capable of it, by the way. Let's be for real here. Curry and Harden can score from anywhere. So I like both eras because I just love the game, and I love watching the way the game evolves. I love watching bigs step out and hit threes. I think it's cool. Now, you know, is it what Giannis should be doing late in the game? Probably not. But you know what? If the Bucks make it to the finals, they're going to pack it in against him, and they're going to dare him to hit that shot. So it's, you know, as long as there's strategy involved, which there is, and the defenses are more sophisticated than they ever were back in the 80s, I think it's a great product.
Last thing from us, the return to play for the league. And the Lakers have learned that Avery Bradley is not going to join the team, and there may be others. How do you think this return to play is truly going to look like in this bubble down in Orlando?
Right. Well, it feels to me a little bit like every day it's a little more fraught with peril. I certainly understand why they're trying to do it, and I think they will do it. And there will be fit and starts, and somebody will test positive because there's just no such thing as zero risk in this environment. You know, we've already found out that Jokic, who plays for the Nuggets, is going to have to stay in Serbia a little longer because he's tested positive, even though he's asymptomatic. And listen, human nature being what it is, people are going to get bored with this bubble. It's going to be 3 months long if you make it all the way to the end. And people are going to step out of that bubble, and they're going to try to do it without anybody noticing. There's actually a snitch line for someone to call and report you if you do such a thing. So it's not perfect, but I think based on everything the NBA has done, they've taken this very seriously. They've done their due diligence. They're going to give it a try. Now, will it work? I'm not 100% sure it will, but we'll just have to wait and see. I think they've taken as many precautions as they can, but this is a very unpredictable virus. We still don't understand it. We don't have a vaccine for it. Cases are spiking all over the country, including Florida, by the way. The numbers are going up, up, and up. Is there going to be a second wave? There's so many variables we don't understand. So it's impossible to say, once they get there, it's all going to be fine. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, it does seem hard to believe. One thing that's been tough through these 4 months is sitting here talking about no sports for 4 hours a day, but I'll tell you one thing that's come out of this for us, and we've talked about this a lot. We've had some really, really, really memorable interviews, and I want to say thank you for – we can put your name on that list. Thanks for doing this. It was a lot of fun. You continue to be safe. Keep up the good work. We'll be watching, and hopefully we can talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Enjoy my pal Mike Vrabel, one of my all-time favorites.
All right. We will pass that along. Thank you, Jackie.
All righty. Take care.
Jackie McMullen does great work covering the NBA for ESPN. Another good get here on the show. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.